This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Common feedback mistakes employees make when giving or receiving workplace feedback. The feedback errors that quietly damage trust before you notice them. In short, most feedback mistakes employees make are invisible in the moment, and only obvious once the damage is done. Giving feedback that is too vague to act on, responding defensively instead of listening first, avoiding the conversation altogether until it is too late. Definition: feedback mistakes employees make are errors in how workplace feedback is given or received that reduce its usefulness, damage trust, and prevent real improvement. These mistakes range from poor timing and vague language to defensiveness and avoidance. You thought the conversation went well. You said what needed to be said, or you listened and nodded along. And then everyone moved on. But a week later, nothing changed. The tension is still there. The person is quieter around you. The problem you tried to address is still happening. This is where most people first suspect they have made one of the common feedback mistakes employees make without realizing it. The trouble is that these mistakes rarely announce themselves. They look like normal conversation. The feedback gets given, a response gets offered, and both people walk away believing it was handled. The real damage happens underneath, in the clarity that was missing or the defensiveness that went unexamined. By the time you notice something is wrong, the moment to fix it has often passed. In this article, you will learn to recognize 6 specific feedback mistakes, understand why they happen, and know exactly what to do about each one. If you want to go deeper on how feedback shapes the way a team works together, how feedback loops boost team synergy is worth reading alongside this. Why feedback problems are so easy to miss. Feedback errors do not feel like errors when they happen. They feel like communication. That is what makes them so persistent. Here is why most people miss them until it is too late. The conversation ends without obvious conflict. When no one walks away angry, people assume the exchange worked. But feedback can fail completely and still feel polite on the surface. Vagueness feels kinder than clarity. Most people soften feedback to avoid hurting someone. That softening feels considerate in the moment, but it leaves the other person without enough information to actually change anything. Defensiveness passes as engagement. When someone pushes back on feedback, it can look like they are taking it seriously. In reality, they may be protecting themselves from hearing it at all. Avoidance looks like patience. Waiting for the right moment to give feedback is sensible. But the right moment never quite arrives for many people, and patience becomes permanent silence. The problem gets attributed to personality. When feedback does not lead to change, people conclude the other person just is that way. Often the real issue is that the feedback was never clear enough to act on. The first step is knowing what to look for. That is what this article gives you. Mistake 1. Giving feedback that is too vague to use. What it looks like. Someone is told they need to communicate better or be more of a team player. The words are said, the message feels delivered, but the recipient has no clear picture of what to do differently on Monday morning. Why it happens? Vague feedback usually comes from discomfort. Being specific means naming something concrete, which feels more confrontational. So people instinctively round off the edges until the feedback is smooth, but useless. Why it matters? Vague feedback does not just fail to help. It actively frustrates. The person receiving it knows something is wrong but cannot identify what to fix. That ambiguity breeds anxiety and resentment. What to do about it? Before you give feedback, write down the specific behavior you observed and the specific moment it occurred. Then describe what you saw, not what you concluded about the person. In Tuesday's meeting, you interrupted Sarah 3 times while she was presenting is actionable. You need to listen better is not. The SBY method gives you a reliable structure for this. Eamon's note. I spent the first 15 years of my career giving feedback so vague that people smiled, nodded, and walked away with no idea what I actually meant. Mistake 2. Waiting until you are frustrated to speak. What it looks like. Nothing is said for weeks. Then one incident tips the balance, and feedback arrives with far more heat than the situation alone would warrant. The recipient feels blindsided. The giver feels justified. Both are confused about why the conversation went badly. Why it happens. Most people wait for certainty before giving feedback. They want to be sure the pattern is real, sure the timing is right, sure they will not overreact. The longer they wait, the more the frustration builds, and eventually the emotion overtakes the message, why it matters. Feedback delivered in frustration is rarely received as intended. The emotional charge shifts the conversation from the issue to the relationship, and that is much harder to repair. What to do about it? Commit to a simple rule: address a pattern within 48 hours of noticing it the second time. You do not need to have a full script ready. You need to name what you observed while it is still fresh and your tone is still measured. If you are unsure how to begin, how to give constructive feedback without causing tension offers a practical starting point. Eamon's note: feedback delivered late is almost always feedback delivered angry, and angry feedback teaches people to avoid you, not to improve. Mistake 3. Responding to feedback with immediate defence. What it looks like: someone offers feedback and before they finish the sentence, the recipient is already explaining, justifying, or countering. The feedback giver stops talking. The conversation closes down. Nothing useful gets exchanged. Why it happens: defensiveness is a natural protection response. When something feels like an attack on your competence or character, the instinct is to defend. Most people do not know they're doing it. They genuinely believe they are providing context. Why it matters: defensiveness signals to the person giving feedback that they should not bother next time. Over time, it trains the people around you to stop being honest with you. That is a serious professional disadvantage. What to do about it? Practice a two-breath pause before you respond to any feedback. Use that pause to repeat the feedback back in your own words. So what you are saying is, this is not a technique for deflection. It is a genuine check to make sure you heard what was actually said before you respond to what you feared was said. Eamon's note: the most capable people I have known were the ones who could sit with uncomfortable feedback long enough to find the truth in it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Mistake 4. Focusing on the person instead of the behaviour. What it looks like: feedback that includes phrases like "you always," "you never," or "the problem is you" tend to point at character rather than conduct. The recipient hears a verdict on who they are, not a description of what they did. Why it happens: when a behaviour is repeated and frustrating, it starts to feel like a personality trait. The natural language that follows describes the person, not the act. This shift often happens without the feedback giver noticing. Why it matters: people can change a behaviour. They cannot change a character flaw you have assigned to them. Feedback aimed at identity produces shame, not improvement, and shame shuts people down rather than opening them up. What to do about it? Replace every "you" with "I noticed" and every "you always" with a specific occasion you are describing. "You are disorganised" becomes, in the last three project handoffs, "the summary document was missing key deadlines." That is something a person can actually address. Eamon's note: here is the truth of it: most behaviour that looks like a character flaw is a habit that nobody ever named clearly enough to change. Mistake 5. Giving feedback in the wrong setting. What it looks like: critical feedback is delivered in a group meeting, in front of colleagues, or through a reply-all email. The recipient feels publicly exposed. They focus entirely on managing their reaction in front of others, not on the substance of what was said. Why it happens: sometimes the issue surfaces in a group context, and the feedback giver responds in the moment without thinking through the impact. Other times, people use a public setting unconsciously as a form of leverage, believing the audience will reinforce the message. Why it matters: public feedback almost always damages trust, regardless of how fair the content is. It creates humiliation where there should be clarity, and it teaches everyone watching that honest conversation is a risk. Understanding the role of communication in meeting success can help you recognize which settings invite candor and which close it down. What to do about it? Apply a firm rule: anything that could embarrass or correct someone happens in private, one-to-one, before it is raised in any group setting. If an issue surfaces publicly, acknowledge it briefly and commit to following up directly. "Let us pick this up properly, just the two of us, later today." Eamon's note: I have watched managers lose the respect of an entire team in 60 seconds by correcting someone publicly who deserved a private conversation. Mistake 6. Treating feedback as a one-way transaction. What it looks like: feedback is given, or received, and the conversation ends there. No follow-up, no check-in, no acknowledgement of whether anything changed. The exchange is treated as complete the moment the words are said. Why it happens? Most people think of feedback as an event rather than a process. You say the thing. The thing is said, done. What happens next is treated as someone else's responsibility. Why it matters? Feedback without follow-through communicates that the issue was not actually important enough to track. The person who received the feedback learns to wait it out, knowing nothing will be revisited. The feedback culture slowly dies. If you want to see how continuous feedback shapes a team's performance, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it lays this out clearly. What to do about it? Book a 10-minute follow-up within 2 weeks of any significant feedback conversation. The agenda is simple: what has changed, what has not, and what support is still needed. That single habit transforms feedback from a moment of tension into a genuine tool for improvement. Eamon's note: feedback without follow-up is just complaint with better manners. The pattern behind these feedback mistakes. These mistakes really appear in isolation. When I see one of them, I almost always find two or three others nearby. The single most common root cause is discomfort avoidance. People do not give vague feedback because they lack the words. They give vague feedback because being specific feels risky. They do not delay feedback because of poor time management. They delay because confrontation feels dangerous. Nearly every mistake in this article traces back to the same source. Feedback feels like a threat to the giver or the receiver, and both sides manage the threat by softening, delaying, or deflecting. A second pattern is the absence of a reliable method. Most people have never been taught how to structure feedback. They approach it improvised, which means their instincts take over, and under pressure, instincts favor self-protection over clarity. Tools like the GROW method for team feedback exist precisely because good feedback needs a framework behind it. A third pattern is the lack of a feedback culture within the team. When honest exchange is not normal, every feedback conversation feels high stakes, and high stakes produce exactly the mistakes described above: avoidance, defensiveness, vagueness, and the impulse to protect yourself before you protect the relationship. Fix the root, and most of the symptoms resolve. Your diagnostic checklist. Use this checklist to assess where you or your team currently stand. I give feedback with a specific, observable example rather than a general impression. I address issues within 48 hours of noticing a repeated pattern. I give significant feedback in private, never in a group setting without prior one-to-one conversation. I follow up after giving feedback to see what has changed. When I receive feedback, I listen fully before I respond. I do not use "you always" or "you never" when describing someone's behavior. I can describe the impact of a behavior without labeling the person's character. I ask clarifying questions when feedback I receive is unclear. I give feedback on behaviors I can see, not on intentions I am guessing at. I do not avoid difficult feedback conversations by hoping the problem resolves itself. Scoring guide. If you checked 3 or fewer, your feedback skills are on solid ground, but worth refining. If you checked 4 to 6, identify the highest impact items and address those first. If you checked 7 or more, feedback is actively working against you, and this needs your attention now. How to start fixing these feedback mistakes? Diagnosis without action is just worry. Here is where to begin. Number 1. Pick one recent conversation to revisit. Think of a feedback exchange in the last month that felt incomplete. Write down what you said and what you wish you had said. Identify which mistake from this article applies. This single exercise builds more self-awareness than any amount of abstract reading. Number 2. Prepare your next feedback conversation in writing. Before your next feedback conversation, write one sentence describing the specific behavior and one sentence describing its impact. That is your script. Preparation reduces the anxiety that leads to vagueness and avoidance. Number 3. Practice receiving feedback without speaking first. In your next feedback exchange, where you're on the receiving end, commit to hearing the full message before you say a single word. Then paraphrase what you heard. This one habit dismantles defensiveness faster than anything else I know. For guidance on managing difficult moments in conversation, how to handle conflict during meetings offers direct, practical tools. Number 4. Schedule a follow-up for feedback already given. If you've given feedback in the last 4 weeks with no follow-up, book a 10-minute check-in this week. Showing up after the conversation sends a stronger message than the conversation itself. For the full process of building feedback into how your team works daily, how feedback loops boost team synergy is the natural next step. Summary. You can now see what most people cannot, that feedback mistakes happen not from malice, but from discomfort, habit, and the absence of a clear method. Vague feedback feels kind, but leaves people without direction. Delayed feedback arrives with frustration attached and lands badly. Defensiveness closes the conversation before the real message gets through. Feedback aimed at personality produces shame, not change. Public feedback damages trust regardless of how accurate the content is. Feedback without follow-up teaches people to wait it out. Wait how to give constructive feedback without causing tension for a step-by-step guide to delivering feedback that actually lands. And if you want to see how these feedback mistakes employees make ripple outward to affect an entire team, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it shows you exactly what is at stake. The skill of honest, clear, well-timed feedback is rare. That is precisely why the people who master it are trusted everywhere they go. Frequently asked questions. What are the most common feedback mistakes employees make? The most common feedback mistakes employees make include giving vague criticism, waiting too long to speak up, responding defensively to feedback received, and focusing on personality rather than specific behavior. Each of these erodes trust and prevents the real issue from being addressed. Why do feedback mistakes employees make go unnoticed for so long? Feedback mistakes often go unnoticed because the discomfort they create gets mistaken for normal workplace tension. People assume the awkwardness is just part of the conversation, not a signal that something went wrong in how feedback was given or received. How do you stop being defensive when receiving workplace feedback? You stop defensiveness by choosing to listen fully before you respond. Pause before speaking, repeat back what you heard, and ask one clarifying question. This gives your nervous system time to settle and signals to the other person that you're genuinely trying to understand. What is the difference between giving feedback and giving criticism? Feedback addresses specific, observable behavior and points toward improvement. Criticism tends to be general, evaluative, and focused on the person rather than the action. The distinction matters because feedback builds the relationship while criticism, poorly delivered, damages it. How do feedback mistakes employees make affect the whole team? Individual feedback mistakes compound across a team. When people avoid honest conversations, problems fester. When feedback is vague or poorly timed, trust erodes. Over time, teams stop correcting each other at all, and performance quietly declines while everyone pretends things are fine. What should you do immediately after receiving difficult feedback? Immediately after receiving difficult feedback, thank the person for saying it. You do not have to agree with the feedback to acknowledge the courage it took to deliver it. Then take time before you respond fully, so your reply comes from reflection rather than reaction. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.